1082. We're almost finishing the Teichacha. Okay, page 1082. We're up to Pasuk Samach Gimel. Pasuk 63, that's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the end of the page of 1082. Okay, in the, we're in the middle of the hidden brachas, as they said. So Hashem is going to do all these things if you don't keep the Torah mitzvahs, what it says in the book, to fear Hashem. Hashem is going to do your, in a wondrous way, he's going to do your makos and the makos of, and he says even the makos, no, you know what, we didn't get that far. We're up to Pasuk Nun Tes, that's what we're really up to. I'm sorry, Pasuk Nun Tes. Okay, 59. Okay, so then in the middle of these, again, like we said, the hidden brachas. Hashem will make extraordinary your blows, v'smakas arecha, and the blows of your children. Makas gedolos and amonis is going to be great and faithful blows, meaning blows that are really going to happen. V'chaloyim ra'im v'amonim, and faithful evil and faithful illnesses, again, meaning illnesses that are really going to come. Now the word vehifla, just in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew, there's like, we say it always, nisim v'niflois, miracles and wonders. Niflois comes from the word pela, which is mamish wondrous. It's, in other words, miracles sometimes are above understanding, but you can get it. Wondrous things mean it's not even at all in seichel. So you have, in a positive way, nisim v'niflois, miracles and wonders, and you have here, in so to speak, in the negative way, the makas that Hashem is going to give to the plagues that Hashem is going to give to the Jewish people is going to be, you know, unheard of, so to speak. Okay, then he says like this, v'heishiv b'cha, Hashem is going to give back to you, it's called madve mitzrayim, all the Hashem will bring back to all the sufferings of Egypt, Asher yagartum mipneihem, that you were afraid of. It says in the Medrash, when the plagues were happening in Egypt, the Jews got scared. They really got scared that these should never happen to us. So the Jews were petrified of the plagues of Egypt. So Hashem said, by the curses, and you don't behave, I'm going to give you all the plagues that I gave to Egypt, of which you were afraid of. The dov kubach, and they're going to cling to you. Gam kol choli v'chol maka, even any illness or blow, hashalai kosev b'seifa atayr azad, that's not even written in this book. Now there's even curses that I didn't even tell you are in the curses. Yalim Hashem aznech alecha, Hashem will put upon you, adishamdach, until you're destroyed. Okay? Nishartem b'sei mispad, okay, there's one thing over here about, okay, now, it says that what did Hashem do, with the Egypt? Oh, 1 second. Let's see if he says it here in another pasuk. 1 second. Okay, no, not yet. Okay. So it says like this. In Ishartim, say, Midma'at, you're gonna remain in a very few people. Tachas, Shayisim, Kreich, Vashmaim, Lorei, Vimlo, until now you were like the stars of the sky. Why is that? Kileshamaita, because Hashem Elokecha. Because you didn't listen to Hashem. So the Pasuk, Vahoyer will be. Kashasas Hashem Aleichem, Leitiv Eschem, Ulaharbes Eschem. Just as Hashem rejoiced over you when he gave you all the good. Ken yosis Hashem aleichem, so Hashem will cause them to rejoice. Lahavit eschem, to destroy you. Lahashmit eschem, to make you perish. V'nisachta mi'alo adam, you will be torn off the ground, asher atav asham al-rishta, that you're coming to inherit. And here the Mefarshim discuss a few interesting things. By the way, the Mefarshim say, simply if you read the pasuk literally, it means, just like Hashem was happy when he did good to you, he's going to be happy when he did bad to you.
You're happy to do bad things?
That's what I'm saying. So what it means is, the Mefarshim explained, it doesn't mean, Ken Yosis Hashem Aleichem, Hashem will be happy. Yeah. Yosis means he'll make others happy. Yeah. It doesn't say, Ken Sas Hashem. Yosis means, the Mefarshim explained, he'll make the Goyim, the nations, that make you suffer, they're going to be rejoicing when they make you suffer. Okay? And he says like this, there's a difference between a father, you'll pardon the expression, who hits his child, not nowadays, God forbid, I mean, terrible, to a master that beats up his slave. When a slave does something wrong, talking the olden days, not God forbid today, I mean, in the olden days when the Eved did something wrong, the Odin, the master, beat him up. When a kid did something wrong, the parent, the father or mother beat you up. He said the difference is the master with the Eved did it as revenge. You did something wrong, I'm going to get back at you. By a parent, it's not, I mean, you're talking about normal parents, that when they hit the child, it was to make it, but to make them better, and it hurt the father when he hit the child. He didn't want to do it. Okay? So he says, that's what the Pasuk is saying. Because the Pasuk is stopped for a minute, doesn't make sense. Hashem is saying, just like he was happy when he rewarded you, when he did good for you, the same way God is going to be happy when he does bad to you. I mean, why doesn't the Pasuk just say, God will be happy when he does bad for you? Why is it the Pasuk saying that God is happy just like, it's comparing the two. Just like Hashem was happy when he does good things for you, it's the same way he's going to be happy when he does bad things for you. But it doesn't mean like this. What the Pasuk is saying, on the contrary, and there's a very powerful Pasuk, and it's a very positive Pasuk. Pasuk is saying, God rejoices, just when he does good for you, he's happy. The reason he's doing the bad for you, because he wants you to become good. He's not doing it because he hates you. He's comparing when Hashem does good for us, to when Hashem does bad for us. Just like a parent, when they hit the child, they're doing it for the child's benefit. The same thing, all this punishment, like we learned, is cleansing, and not nukama. Hashem doesn't need to take revenge from us when we don't behave. So he says, just like Hashem, when he gave good, the intention was to do good. The same thing Cain, and that's what the Pasuk says. It's a very positive Pasuk. You should know, Hashem is not doing it because he hates you. Like, you know, the kids, when parents do something the kids don't like, they think, oh, the parents hate me. That's the first thing they think. And then when they get older, they realize, and not only the parent doesn't hate you, the parent loves you, and that's why they're doing this for you. So he says the same thing is what Hashem is doing. Hashem is doing this only for our benefit, not for anything else. Okay, and you'll be torn away from the land that Hashem will give you. Okay, now he says like this. Ve'afitcha, this is a very interesting pasuk. Ve'afitcha Hashem b'chol ha'amim. Hashem will spread you out, scatter you amongst all the nations, mikseya aretz, lakseya aretz, from one end of the earth to the next, v'avadeto Hashem elokim acherim, you will work there for other gods, asher lo yadaito atav avisecha, that you and your forefathers didn't know, made out of stone and wood. So the Pasuk is saying that Hashem spread the Jews out amongst all the nations of the world. Now the question is that good or bad?
Sometimes it's good, sometimes bad.
Is it good that the Jews are amongst all the nations of the world? So there's a Gemara, famous Gemara. Amar Rabbeishi says, "My dechsev, what is this that it says in the Pasuk? Tzidkas pizroinei bi Yisrael. There's a pasuk that says tzidka and shaftim. Tzidka, I think. Tzidkas bezreina b'Yisrael. So he says, teva asa kodesh baruch hu l'Yisrael. Tzidkas, tzedaka. Hashem did a kindness to the nations, to the Jews, I mean, by spreading them out all around the world. That's what the Gemara says. Tzedaka asa kodesh baruch hu l'Yisrael shepizron l'bein ha'umas. So the commentators in the Gemara say, what's the simple meaning of that? It's very simple. When the Jews were thrown out of Spain, with the Inquisition, mm-hmm. So the Jews had brothers and sisters in other countries, other Jews, to run to. If all the Jews, God forbid, would have been in Spain, where would they go? If all the Jews would be in Germany, where would they go? So Hashem spread them out amongst all the nations of the world. This is the simple meaning. That Hashem wants that the Jews should have different places to be able to run to. Okay? But there's a much deeper explanation of what that Gemara is. And to preface it with another difficult Gemara. There's a Gemara that says that the reason why Hashem sent the Jews in exile is L'Taysef Aleihem Gedim. Get more converts. This is what the Gemara says. Why did God spread the Jews out amongst the world? To get more converts.
Converts?
Tell her in Farsi. What? 1 minute! So we know, though, that the Jews are not out to proselytize. We don't go out like the other religions do. We don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's Jewish, they're Jewish. We don't go out.
Why?
So why is the Gemara saying that God spread us out amongst the nations of the world to get more converts? I mean, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. But explanation is very interesting. And this will explain soon, we'll get to about Mitzrayim. At the end of the curses, it says something about Mitzrayim. There are sparks of Kedusha that are all over the world. Sparks of Kedusha that are all over the world. If all the Jews would be in Israel, let's say, all the Jews would be in Eretz Yisrael, how would the sparks of Kedusha of America and Asia and then Australia and Africa, how would they be getting those sparks? They wouldn't be able to get those sparks. They're all in Eretz Yisrael. They're not eating the food in those countries to elevate it, to make a broch on it, and to bring it to Kedusha. They're not using the physical objects in those countries to do mitzvahs with, to make it holy. So how are those sparks of Kedusha that are all over the world, how are they going to get elevated? How's that going to be? So therefore the Gemara says that Hashem did a kindness to the Jewish people, that He spread them out all around the world. But when the Gemara says the expression to add converts, he doesn't only mean the people converts. What he means is the sparks of Kedusha that are all over the world. Because we learned already, when people convert to Judaism, it's because they do it right. They have a Yiddish neshama that through Eitz Hadas, we learned, that spread itself out all around the world. It got lost amongst the nations. And therefore, you bring the neshamas back, the Jewish souls back to Kedusha. So he says, that's what the Gemara says, that Hashem spread the Jews around all the nations of the world. For what purpose? To bring more Kedusha in all around the world. So when the pasuk says over here, Hefitcha Hashem b'chol ha'amim, God is going to spread you out amongst all nations of the world, he's not speaking, officially it's the curse. But in the hidden way, it's the benefit of the Jew, because then they could work and elevate the Kedusha all around the world. Why are we in California? And why are other people in New York? And why are other people in San Francisco? And why are other people in South America and Australia and Europe? Why are people all those places? Because that's their personal place that Hashem sent them to do Torah mitzvahs in that part of the world, to elevate it. So everybody in this room who lives, 1 minute, whoever lives in California, so therefore, our mission in life is California. Other places, people, their mission is a different city. So this is what the pasuk means. Hashem is going to spread you out amongst all the nations. So what's going to happen? You're going to be working, you're serving. You're going to be work, meaning. In fact, Rashi says it doesn't only mean it. Rashi says it doesn't mean they're going to be serving idols. Vavadatosha means you're going to be serving them. You're going to have to pay taxes to them, to these people, to gods that you don't even know what exists.
Rabbi, what's what? The Beit HaMikdash is affecting on this one or not?
A what?
To spread people. But it's because the
in the time of the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah, that's happening.
So that's the reason why in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the Kedusha was all over the world. The ideal Beis HaMikdash was Shlomo HaMelech's time.
Correct.
The first Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech's name went around the world. Queen of Sheba from the other end of the world came. Everybody came all the to the Shulayim. But that wasn't elevating the sparks directly. He was in Eretz Yisroel, in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kedusha went around the world. But they weren't there in those places actively elevating the sparks. Right? People weren't doing mitzvahs in that part of the world. Shlomo HaMelech's light, the light of Kedusha, the light of the Beis HaMikdash, went around the world. But the people weren't working in those parts of the world to make that part of the world holy. The food, the stuff, everything, right? Okay, so that's why everything that seems to be negative, because God does it, it's really good. So what's the good from Golus? What's the good? Hashem puts us in Golus here for 2,000 years, going pretty strong. With 2,000 years in Golus. Why did Hashem put us in Golus? What's the good of it? The good of it is that now we're getting the sparks of Kedusha that we work on all over the world. And then when Mashiach comes, all the sparks are going to go back with us to Eretz Yisrael, back to where they belong. So that's, but it's not, what? There's a Gemara that says two rabbis were walking from the Gemara and he said something. He said to him, you just reminded me. There's a pasuk that says that Shalom Yoshev Adam Sham, a country that Adam didn't live there, or it simply means where people didn't live. So he said, I think it's in Sanhedrin, that a country that Adam Rishon decreed should become civilized, became civilized. Those countries, the part of the world, that there's plenty parts of the world that are completely uncivilized. The Amazon, jungles, I mean, all over the place, yeah? Even though people live there, but it's not...
normal.
No, it's not, first of all, it's not all over, and there's a lot of things that are not refined yet. Or a place where Adam Rishon didn't decree that they should live, right? They didn't live. But in a spiritual sense, it means that certain parts of the world, Hashem needs us to elevate, and therefore there are Jews there. And there's certain parts of the world that, for whatever reason, in Hashem's business, don't need to be elevated directly, so there's no Jews there.
Even people altogether.
Right, but I'm saying, even if there are people, there's no Jews there doing Torah mitzvahs. So that's what that means, what Adam, meaning Hashem, Adam Elyon, Hashem decreed people should live, so that's where people live, because that's where the places need to be elevated.
But do these places have a purpose?
If it didn't have a purpose, it wouldn't have been created.
But I mean,
the Gemara says, one second, the Gemara says, Leibara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Davar Echad Ba'olamo Levatala. Hashem didn't create one thing, not one blade of grass extra, one kernel of sand, not one drop of water. That's what the Gemara says, if you believe in the books. Leibara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Davar Echad Ba'olamo Levatala. Hashem didn't create even one thing, not one blade of grass, not one kernel, one leaf, one snowflake, one water. There's a purpose of everything. What is the purpose? Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know. Do you know that under the water, you know, more than half the world is water?
70%.
Not 70, it's a little over 50%. Yeah. Do you know there's a whole world under there? You ever see videos of the world underneath the water? Okay. Nobody's doing Torah mitzvahs down there. Nobody. And that's more than half the world. Okay? Now, that's Earth. You know, you got a bunch of planets up there. You got a bunch of stars up there. You got a bunch of... There's a world up there, yeah? A universe. There's not one Jew. Trust me. There are no humans in any other planets. Okay? It says, in Torah, God created Adam on Earth. Okay? Doesn't mean there's no life in other planets. There's life, but not human life. Okay? There's no Martians coming down one day. It ain't happening. Okay? I know. Well, there is exception to the rule. So, the point is, why did Hashem... Let me ask you. It says in we daven David, yeah? In Tillim it says, Meina mispa l'kechavim l'chulam shemes yukra. Right? In Alulukas. It says clearly there's a set amount of stars. It says Mona Mispar Lakuchov. God counts a number for the stars. Luchulam Shemesh Yikra. And God gives a name for all the stars. Not like in the star registry, you know what they advertise. You get a star named after your name. On the radio they advertise. Okay. That means, let's say there's a million stars. Yeah? Hashem didn't create 900,999. He created a million or a million and one, whatever it is. There is a purpose of everything he created. Now, where we deal with, that's our purpose to elevate. Where there's nobody dealing with, like under the ocean, that's a different birur. It's a different avaida. It's not our avaida to do. Okay. V'agayim ahem leisargia, pasik samachay. And amongst the nations, you're not going to be calm. V'layia manech lekafraglecho, there'll be no rest for the sole of your foot. V'nosan Hashem l'chol sham, and God will give you there. Lev ragos, a trembling heart. Chil yen einayim, longing eyes. V'davi nofesh, and the suffering of the soul. Huh? That means no rest in all the nations that Hashem is going to put you up. It's interesting, I'm lazy, he goes over here into a whole interesting thing, that there's six expressions of anger, of kas. And one of them, you know, is regez. Regez is in the Hebrew word for, which is lev ragos. So here it's translated as lev ragos, a tranquil heart. But roges is anger, right? In Hebrew, roges is anger. See, the pasuk says, in those days, you're not gonna, Hashem is going to give you this whole inyan of kas and all that. So here in the, I don't know why, but over here in the Me'amleis, he elaborates on this whole thing of kas and why he gets it here. But anyway, it's a very, I'm not gonna say what he says because I'm gonna tell you, not in the pshat, in a deeper sense. The Torah, one of the curses is, you're gonna be, like, in Lev Ragos means a non-tranquil heart, a trembling heart, you're gonna be angry. Right? When things don't go well, you get angry. That's what human nature is. Kas is a normal human characteristic trait. You will rarely find any person in the world that never got angry. I mean, rarely. Okay? The question is only, how many times did you get angry? 3,000 a week? 10,000 a week? How often you get angry? But anger is an unrealistic
how
thing.
How dense it is.
Yeah, how much anger? So it says, what's one of the bad midos, one of the bad characteristic traits that a person needs to work on is the concept of anger. Why is anger so bad? So there's an expression in Chazal, Kol HaKoyes Kilo Eved Aveda Zora. Whoever gets angry is like worshipping idols. Now the question is, there's a lot of idol worshippers out here then, in the world.
All people.
Huh?
Most people, almost 100%.
Let's try all people, minus whatever. You're more correct saying 99.999% then you're better off. What is so bad about anger? You did something bad to me, I got angry at you. To the extent that the Gemara says it's like worshipping idols. That's pretty harsh. By the way, it's not a Gemara. They question the source. The Rambam uses the expression, though. Unfortunately, the Rambam tried to find the source. Where did the Rambam get it from? But this is what Torah says. If you get angry, it's like worshipping idols. So the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, in Igeres HaKodesh, gives a very beautiful explanation of why anger is called idol worshipping. I don't know how much it's going to help us by knowing this, but the fact is, it is idol worshipping. You could still count it for a minion, by the way. Else no shul will have a minion. Even though idol worshippers, you can't count for a minion, but this you could count a person that gets angry. It's only ki'ilu aved aved zarah. So it says very simple. If a Jew believes in God, and if a Jew believes in God, then he has to believe that everything that happens in the world is coming from God.
That's to yesterday's Tanya.
Correct. Everything is coming from God. Yesterday's Tanya.
Yesterday.
Okay, whatever.
I listened to it twice.
Okay, okay. Really you can listen to another five times.
I really wanted to emphasize okay. on that. Myself.
So why was that? Let me finish. If you get angry, so like, if a person believes everything comes from Hashem, so he says like this, let's say you do something bad to me, which normally is what, a person gets angry, not, you don't wake up in the morning, okay, I'm angry. I mean, something had to happen that makes you angry. So you did something to me. So let's say for a simple case, you smacked me in the face. Okay, physically. You smacked me in the face, I'm angry at what you did, yeah? And therefore, I don't like what you did, I'm angry at you. Now, if a person believes that Hashem runs the world, so, and it goes even a step further. When that person hit me, he took his hand and smacked me. Or he took his thing and messed me up, I lost a lot of money. Whatever it may be, it doesn't matter what the thing, what, but that's, it's very simple when you use this physical example, the guy smacks me in the face. So, that person was able to move his hand because God gave him the power to move the hand. If God didn't want him to smack me, then God wouldn't have given him the power to smack me, obviously. So obviously the fact that he was able to move his hand and smack me in the face, God wanted him to have that to happen. Because if Hashem didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. If you believe in God, that's the way God runs the world. So therefore, like this, when you smack me in the face, I need to understand the following. God wanted me to get smacked. Issue number one. Issue number two had nothing to do with the one that hit me. He hit me
because God.
He did something wrong between him and God. That's between him and God. As far as I'm concerned, if you believe in God, I was supposed to get hit. Because if God didn't want me to get hit, I wouldn't have gotten hit. If God didn't want me to lose money, I wouldn't have lost money. So when you caused me to lose money, or even a more fanatical case, A kills B. Right? Reuven kills Shimon. Now, was Shimon supposed to die?
Yes.
Obviously. If God didn't want Shimon to die, he wouldn't have died. Right? So, the fact that Reuven killed Shimon was supposed to die because what God wanted Shimon to die. Reuven. Now. So why is Reuven punished for killing, not only killing somebody? Right? If you think about it, God should pay him. If God wanted Shimon to die, and Reuven did it, so Reuven did God's dirty work. So God really should pay Reuven and reward him for doing it.
Yeah. Right? God says, do not murder.
Oh, so what's the pshat? There's two issues. We need to separate the issues, and this is very important to understand it. There's what happened to me and what you did. What happened to me, God wanted to happen. That's why it happened. But it's not because you did it.
And you did something.
One second. You are punished because God says to you, don't murder, don't smack, don't make somebody lose money, right? Don't cause damage to somebody. So you are doing something wrong because God said to you, don't kill, don't hit, don't hurt somebody, don't curse somebody. As far as the person, like the Alter Rebbe uses the expression, the one that got cursed, al anigza and anizik, and the one that got damaged, kranigzer olav min hashemayim. That was set by God. That was supposed to happen. Because if it wasn't supposed to happen, God wouldn't have made it happen. The fact that Hashem made it happen, because that's what's supposed to happen. So when you smack me in the face, I'm supposed to get smacked.
Let me finish.
So therefore, it has nothing to do with you. Now, if I believe in God, and I got smacked, and Hashem wanted me to get smacked, God only does good. So the reason I got smacked is good.
Because you did something wrong or you didn't do something
wrong? That doesn't matter. Whatever it is, if God wanted me to get smacked, God is the essence of good. God is Etzem HaTayv, the essence of good. Teva HaTayv LaHeitiv, the nature of good is to do good. So therefore, whatever God does is bad. Just because I'm foolish and stupid and blind and I don't see the good of it, doesn't mean God shouldn't be doing what he's doing. Okay, it's my problem. Like we said, you know, the guy who knows nothing about medicine sees a guy doing surgery. They think he's murdering the guy when he's saving his life. So therefore, the doctor shouldn't do what he does because this moron doesn't know what's going on. I mean, it doesn't work like that. So when I get smacked or anything bad that happens to me, I have to know one thing. It's not that person doing it to me. It's God doing it to me. That person, that's between him and God. It has nothing to do with me. But what happened to me is really good. So 1 minute. So therefore, when a person does get angry, what is he basically saying? God made a mistake over here. It shouldn't have happened. He's saying God made a mistake. Why? Because if I believe God wanted me to get hit, and whatever God does is good, so why am I complaining about it? So why am I getting angry? Because it shouldn't have happened to me. Like everybody says, why me? Why me? Right? That's the famous thing everybody says. What do you mean, why you? Because God wanted it to happen to you. So by questioning it, you're basically denying God's existence. So therefore, this explains why the statement of Chazal is, Kol HaKoyes, Kilu Eved Avedah Zara. Because you're basically, by getting angry, you're basically saying, this shouldn't have happened to me. Right? And God did want it to happen to you. So what do you mean it shouldn't have happened to me? God wanted it to happen to you. And if God does it, it's good. So if you believe in God, smile. You're on candid camera.
We shouldn't say why to Hashem.
Proper Jewish belief is only why did you do it to that person. A proper Jew, a full-fledged believer Jew, a righteous Jew,
yes.
Never questions why God does something bad to me. What a Jew questions is, if I see, God forbid, something bad happening to you, I say to God, God, why did you do it to that person? They don't deserve it. That's what God wants to hear. And if you get angry at God, why he did something to somebody else, God says that's good. As long as you still keep Torah mitzvahs.
So you
don't go on strike. But when it happens to the person themselves, then the person's supposed to feel, listen, I'm far from what I should be, so I'm sure whatever I get, I deserve, and it's really good. What? Wait. By the way, let me press it. It's easier said than done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's easier said than done, but that doesn't take away from the reality of the situation. What?
Would Hashem rather teach, so to speak, a lesson through a kind way, so to speak, versus Hashem shown a harsh way if he could, so to speak? You know what I'm saying? The same lesson. In other words...
So why does God pick the hard way rather than the good way? Yeah?
Because maybe I'm just thinking, like, as a teacher, that you would rather do it, like...
Kill him with love. Kill him with love.
But on the other hand, they said, "Hosech shikto sone bno." So there is a.
That's the chinuch. Yeah, but it's bno, and only for the sake and not abusing and.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's teaching the kid. So God hits us sometimes. What does the pasuk say? Es hashayav Hashem yochiach. God admonishes. Now, so now the question is: we're asking a very good question. So why can't that God do it to me through good?
Positive way.
Positive. The answer to this is very profound. Everything God does is good. Some things come down in revealed good that we see.
Obvious.
And some things come down in what's called hidden good. God does it, it's good. Right? It could come down in revealed good, open good, or it could come down in hidden good. Which good is greater? The hidden good is higher and greater and a greater level of good than the revealed good. Where do we say this? Where it's a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says, "Hanistareis la Hashem Elokeinu, va'nigleis in Parshas Nitzavim, va'nigleis lanu uvaneinu ad elam." The hidden things are to God, va'nigleis lanu uvaneinu. Yeah. So in Kabbalah it says like this. The pasuk says, "Ashrei agever asher tiyasrena ya." The pasuk can tell. Asher agever, fortunate is the person, asher tiyasrenu yisurim, yudkei. Okay? That means, the hidden good that comes in the form of punishment, comes in the level of yudkei, of Hashem's name. Yeah? Hanistores la Hashem alakeinu, Ve ha niglais, vavhei, is niglais, the revealed good. So the hidden good comes from Hashem's name of Yudkei. The revealed good, ve ha asher geva shet yasranu ya, which is Yudkei. The revealed good, ve ha niglais lanu vaneinu, is vavhei, ve ha niglais is vavhei niglais. So the revealed good comes in the level of Vavhei. The hidden good comes in the level of Yudkei. So which one's higher? Yudkei is higher than Vavhei. Correct? So now, sometimes Hashem loves us. Sometimes we tell God, don't love me so much, you know. You ever find you hug a person too tight, you hurt them? Okay. But it's true. Somebody you really love, you give a good hug. Not the fake hugs of today. So a real good hug is a bear hug. You know what I mean? You really hurt them. But that's, there's an expression in Yiddish from Grace Lieber. From great love, they're going to choke the person. You know? So the answer to your question, which is a very good question, by the way, why doesn't God do it with revealed good? Why does he do the hidden good? The answer is because it's a higher level of good. And God loves us so much, he says to us, why should I give you a lower level of good if I can give you a higher level of good? So now the question is, I'm going to extend the question further, then if that's the case, we should all daven to suffer. If suffering is a higher level of good than revealed good, so then we should all pray to suffer. Why isn't it? It's because I'll tell you what we're davening. God is so great, He can give us the hidden good in an open fashion. That's what we want.
That's good.
But when bad, what we think is bad, what we think is bad, happens to us, we need to know, I can't get angry. First of all, Bechlau, angry people have a miserable life. It's truth. You ever see angry people? They're miserable, miserable life. They can't be happy. They can't. They're always angry at the world.
Face is not normal.
Huh?
They face is.
Yeah, the it's not a life. But besides that, anger is actually the fact of getting angry why something happened to me. So you're basically saying God didn't make it happen. Because if God made it happen, then it has to be good. So it's really good. So what am I complaining about? But Hashem wants, by the way, and the Rebbe said this many times, Hashem wants that we should scream at Him. Why? He killed 6 million Jews. Why? Terrible things are happening to other people, but not when it comes to ourselves.
But the judgment is not question of the judgment of the God, if they say that's His word.
Do we
doubt of judgment of the God?
If you doubt the judgment of God, you don't believe in God. Let me ask you a simple question. We asked this many times by the groups, everything. If you were God, would you run the world differently? Don't answer the question.
This is tough. I can.
If you were God, don't tell me people think, listen, even very religious Jews or people sometimes think, you know, God messed up this one. Okay? I would never do that if I was God. I would never allow the 6 million. I would never allow poverty. I would never allow illness. I would never all the terrible things you hear going on in the world today. Yeah? People think if I would be God, I would never do that. Whoever even thinks that if I would be God, God forbid, I would run the world differently, is not 99.9999% Epicurus. He's 100% Epicurus. 100% non-believer.
Excuse me, if I may ask you a question.
No, 1 second. What?
I just have two more points to that. So number one is, why can't you include yourself on that? If let's say you're not supposed to speak Lashon Hara on others, you're not supposed to speak Lashon Hara on yourself.
Right? Correct.
So why just exclude yourself? Why can't you be included in... I mean, not in an unrealistic way, but in a way like, okay, it's enough... Suffering for others and not suffering chas v'shalom for yourself. I don't know why you should exclude yourself. That's one. And the other is...
Let me ask you a question. Let me answer that. It's very simple. If Hashem does it to you, do you deserve it?
Well, of course you could say nobody's perfect. You could always say, well, in Hashem's hashbonas, of course I'm not...
But we know ourselves that we're not perfect.
Right.
Even though all of us think we're God,
okay,
or God's gift to the world,
sure,
or whatever you want to call it. Okay?
So
when it comes to somebody else, we need to look at somebody else with a good eye and not see any faults. So therefore, they don't deserve the evil that's happening to them, the hidden good or whatever, but on ourselves, that we do know our faults, and we're supposed to know our faults, right? That we can understand why it's happening to us and accept it.
Isn't there also a concept that when Chas V'Shalom, like the 6 million or whatever, that the world looks at us like, where is your God, so to speak? You know what I'm saying? Like, does Hashem want that bad PR?
Does God want bad PR? Yes, He does.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you, I'm going to answer you. I'm answering you with Torah statements.
Okay.
When Hashem dictated Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, it came to the word Vayemer Elokim Naase Adam Bitzameinu Kidmuseinu. Let us make man.
Let us.
Moshe Rabbeinu, you ever hear of him? He's a nice guy. Moshe Rabbeinu. He's born this week's parsha. He was born.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, Naase.
Yeah.
Do you know what you're opening up in Pandora's box? That us, there's pluralism in God? How? Write Asa, Vayomelkim, Asa Adam. Why are you writing Nasa Adam? Do you know what God told him? This is what the Gemara says. Hashem said to him, "Ksav, v'areitz elites yiten. You write it. Whoever wants to make a mistake, let them." That's what the Gemara says.
You write what?
Let us make man. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Why are you writing?"
Let. Loved Moshe Rabbeinu.
He loved them very much. Moshe Rabbeinu loved God also, by the way, very much. Okay. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "You know what? I'm giving people an opportunity to make a mistake. Now figure it out yourself," God says. Okay? Because if I don't give you an opportunity to make a mistake, yeah, then you wouldn't be able to make a mistake.
And what would be wrong with that?
Because the only way you can come to the ultimate truth is by making a mistake. You know, they tell a story.
What if you accept?
They tell a story. A secretary was hired in an office, and she made a mistake that cost the company $800,000. So the secretary said to the boss, "You're firing me, yeah?" He says, "You kidding? I just spent $800,000 to train you." You know when you learn? You learn from your mistakes. The Gemara says an expression, nobody comes to the right unless if you made a mistake in it. Once you make a mistake, Sheva tzadik v'kam, right? Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. You need to fall down 7 times, and then you can get up.
So then why do we have a concept altogether of a Kiddush Hashem and a Hillel Hashem?
No, that's our doing. What God does, he's the boss. He can do whatever he wants.
So if Hashem has to do the lesson, so to speak, it's worth it for him to do it, even though the world...
You know, I'm not going to second play God.
Take it that way.
I'm not going to second play God and say, but this is what Torah says.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir. Now it's your turn.
Thank you. Excuse me, lady.
Yeah.
I have one question to ask.
Let's make it fast.
What if you accept all the comments that you are, I as an individual, accept all the comments that you're making, and I agree with all the comments that you're making. However, subconsciously, you have a strong Yetzirah who is combating you with every word that you say, has shalom, and is combating you. How are you supposed to fight this entity within you? Even though you accept every single word that you're saying, somebody accepts.
By feeling, not accepting it, feeling it.
Clarify that.
There's a difference between knowing something is wrong or feeling something is wrong. There's a difference between knowing what's right or feeling what's right. Learning about Yiddishkeit, learning about Judaism, is worthless if you don't live it.
Correct.
Because there's a big difference between knowing about Shabbos or kosher or whatever it is, or living it. Because when you live it, you feel it. When you live it, you feel it. And that's a fundamental difference in good and in bad. Hashem says, it's not enough to know. It's not enough to know Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But right away the Torah says, you have to say Shema Elokecha. You got to love God. You have to be one with God. You have to feel God. Then it works. And the same thing is in bad and the same thing is in good. So therefore, coming back to the Chumash here, when Hashem is creating in Golus, Lev Ragos, as some of Foshim learned, it means the concept of anger. Why is anger a curse? Number one, you live a miserable life, like we said, if you're an angry person. But more than that, by being angry, and again, who doesn't get angry, but we need to limit it, by realizing that God runs the world, and whatever happens is from Hashem, and if Hashem does it, it's good, and therefore it's nothing to do. I can't be angry at the person who did it to me, because if God didn't want it to happen to me, it wouldn't have happened. Okay.
They say suffering the soul. Why?
Suffering of the soul?
Well, yeah.
Because that's the real suffering.
The soul is...
Suffering of the soul actually means when you're in mental anguish, you don't know what's going on, you're confused,
ding, 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 ding,
you're depressed. That's worse pain than physical pain.
Ding, 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 ding.
I know. Don't publicize it, though.
Yeah,
okay. What? Now you got it? Huh?
Yep.
But let's keep on. Let's not second play God. If it's not explanations that Torah tells us from Gemara, from here, from there, whatever the explanations is, then we have a right to explain it. But, you know, to second guess God, like, the answer to the Holocaust, why? Every answer people say, when you smack in the face, that people did, and that, Germany, you know what? The Rebbe used to scream when anybody, even the Gedolim, would say that, you know why this thing happened to the Jews? Because there was a homosexual parade in Yerushalayim. Or you know why the Germany happened to 6 million? Because the Maskilim, the Haskalam, the Enlightenment movement started. Rebbe said, there is no answer. There is no answer, but a Jew needs to understand that we can. The question is not why we don't understand God. The question is the reverse. How do we think we do understand anything God does? And the truth is, whatever God does, we don't understand anyway. But the question is not, I don't understand God, and therefore God's wrong. That's a ridiculous statement. How can a limited human being understand an infinite God? It's impossible.
But I'm thinking more, I think, if I'm not mistaken, isn't there somewhere in the Chumash that it says that, what will the nations say, so to speak?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about, Nora. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu said that when God wanted to destroy the Jews by the Yagel.
Okay,
so Moshe Rabbeinu said, "The Yemer Mitzrayim."
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what I mean.
No.
So what? How does that relate to this?
That was Moshe Rabbeinu's argument against Hashem not to destroy the Jews. God doesn't care about public opinion.
So what?
Can I ask you a question? Why in the world should God care about public opinion? Do you care? Do you care? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. We're talking about the uncivilized parts of the world. Yeah, the Amazon, whatever. Yeah. There are certain bugs there. There are certain plants there. Yeah? Yeah, God? Okay. Are you really afraid of their public opinion of you?
No.
Can you imagine the two bugs in the Amazon went out to dinner, and they're talking, okay? And the two bugs on the other end of the world, no, listen, are talking about you that you know good. Are you really going to get affected by that?
Of course not.
In any way whatsoever?
Of course.
Okay, now let me tell you a little secret. The relationship between you and the bugs is infinitely closer than us and God. The bugs are finite. Mugbal, we are Mugbal. Okay? By mathematical definition, the bugs in the Amazon jungle are closer to us than we are to God. Now, if we don't care about the stone, forget the bugs, bugs at least move. Two stones are having a conversation. Okay? You couldn't care less about it, correct? Yeah? So, how much more so should God not care about public opinion? Because it doesn't mean anything to him. The only reason why Torah mitzvahs do matter to God, whether we sin or God forbid sin or do a mitzvah, is because Hashem says, you know what? This, I want that it should matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
So when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that, that's what he was referring
yes.
to?
Yes. We got to get the picture. In other words, like this. We can't know what God is, but we can know what He's not. You know, there's what's called Yediyas HaChiyuv and Yediyas HaShlila. There's positive knowing and there's negative knowing. There's an expression in Chazal, Tachlis HaYediya Shaloy Nedo'acha. The ultimate knowledge of God is to understand that we don't understand Him. Okay? I'll give you an example. There's what's called positive knowing and negative knowing. Yediyas HaChiyuv, Yediyas HaShlila. For instance, to give a very simple. You heard a song. You heard a song. And you tried to remember the song. So people start singing songs to you. Yeah? They'll sing this song, you say, no, it's not that. It's not that. It's not that. It's not that. Okay? That's called negative knowing. You know what it's not. But when somebody, if you're trying to remember a song, yeah, and somebody will tell you a baseball game, I mean, it's not at all in the same realm. Correct? So, Tachlis HaYedia, the ultimate understanding of Hashem is that we don't understand Him. So why bother learning? So we learned learning many times. One and a trillion trillion. You know what trillion trillion is? They just said on the radio, 8 billionaires, 8 richest people in the world own more money than 4 billion people together in the world. Okay? The 8 top rich guys in the world own more money than 4 billion people put together. You know what that means? Okay. But even those guys, the biggest guy is Gates with 75 billion. Ken Yerbo. What he's going to do with the money, basically. Okay. But can you imagine a trillion trillion? That's way above
this.
Okay. Well, okay. Now, what's further away from infinite? One or a trillion trillion?
Same.
The infinite away from infinite, correct? So what's the difference between one and a trillion? One's comprehension. When it thinks, what is infinite? A billion. Ask a little kid, what? Not anymore. Ask the little kids years ago, what's rich? If you have $25, you're rich. Now they have a better understanding, the kids. But asked one, the number one, what is infinite? In their mind, infinite is a billion. Yeah? So he still doesn't understand what infinite is. But a guy that has a trillion trillion still doesn't know what infinite is. But they have a better understanding what it's not. They can't picture what infinite is because there is finite. Trillion trillion is also mukbal, it's also limited. But what they could understand is what it's not. And that's what we need to do with Hashem. Yeah, last question.
I'd like to say something. It says in the summer this morning, it says,